This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 53, where I talk with Emmy about her poem, The Boy Across the Aisle. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Emmy. I'm a ninth grader in Hanover, New Hampshire. And this is my poem, The Boy Across the Aisle. I get on the bus for the first time. It's dark, but people have lights on, holding them up to their newspapers, their books. I smile at the boy across the aisle, and he smiles back, waving his fingers without letting go of his book. I blush and reach into my bag, pulling out my own book. I get on the bus for the 100th time. It's brighter than usual, and I notice less newspapers, less books. Now it's phones and computers scattered in among the readers. I stick my tongue out at the boy across the aisle, and he rolls his eyes, a smile lighting up his face. Then we both look down, continuing our separate lives. I get on the bus for the 200th time. I look around, not a book in sight. Phones, computers, and tablets light up the faces of all the passengers, all but one. And he's already looking up from his book, knowing this is my stop. But I break our routine, and I go and take a seat next to the boy across the aisle.
Ooh, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
So the inspiration for a lot of my poems comes from, like, books I read or movies I watch. So this has not actually happened to me. But, I don't actually remember. I think I was reading a love story at the time, and I was like, it would be so sweet if this happened on a bus. And so I just wrote a poem about it.
That's cool that you get inspiration from a movie or a book and then kind of like reimagined it in a different scenario. How did this poem evolve as you worked on it?
So originally I was planning on it only being actually the first part, about getting on the bus for the first time. But I wrote it and I was kind of like, if I were reading this, I would want it to go somewhere. And I kind of want to see it evolve a little more. And I also wanted to incorporate some more of the, like, as the civilization, like, grows, like, people using more screens and stuff, because I've noticed it, like, around me, like, a lot of people will spend their time on their phones more than reading. And I just thought that, like, it'd be better if I sort of extended the story more. So I kind of just wrote and saw what happened. And then I went back and edited it, but it kind of just happened.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's something that I was going to actually comment on, was how there's like a few different themes going on, like the evolution of the books and the newspapers to phones and computers, and how the technology kind of crept into this bus like further and further until it went from like being completely dark to being completely bright. And then also the storyline of the narrator and the boy knowing each other, but still being strangers until they finally make the steps to connect and then build a friendship. So what was your inspiration for having these dual themes, and what was it like to kind of weave them together to show the passing of time and then how this friendship has developed?
So it kind of started, I just wanted to have them have some connection. And of course, like, I enjoy reading a lot, and I think it's kind of like a sweet thing for people to bond over. So it sort of started with that. And then the second theme was kind of tied in when I was trying to like increase their friendship, trying to figure out a way that he could like stand out from everybody else. And I also thought that like it is something that's happening a lot. Like, not many people read the newspaper on buses and like during travel. And it's something that I feel quite strongly about, so I figured I'd tie it in.
I love books, too. I was just talking about this, about, like, ebooks and regular books and that kind of thing. And it's funny because whenever I see someone reading something in public, I'm always like, oh my gosh, we should be best friends. Like, they're a reader, too. And I think it's just really special to connect with other people over books, because there's such a personal thing of mine that I love so much that Like, if someone else likes the same book that I like, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're best friends. Like, this seals the deal.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So your first stanza about the people holding up lights to the newspapers and books reminded me of reading at night and like holding a flashlight or a nightlight up to my book to read the and then like how that seems like kind of a personal experience in a way, or like something very secretive. And then here's a bus full of people doing the same thing. Is that kind of part of your inspiration for it?
Yeah, so funny story. I actually started this poem on a bus. I was heading to an airport and I pulled my book out and I also pulled my flashlight out because I was thinking of the times like when I was at camp and I'd always bring a flashlight for reading at night. But it turned out like I didn't even need one because it was like so bright on the bus and it was probably 1 or 2 in the morning. And so it was sort of like surprising to me. But yeah, like I was trying to figure out where to go with the story. And I was sort of like, whoa, this is not what I was expecting. And so I jotted it down actually in my notebook because I was trying to figure out how to make them have a connection. And then when I got to the airport, I started writing this up. And I was kind of thinking of like, I have spent so many nights in my room, like under the covers with a light on, way past my parents have gone to bed, just reading. And the fact that like a lot of people share that experience, I think is really cool.
I think so too. I think it's a really kind of common experience, or I don't want to say common, but like something that like, if you love reading, then you've done that at some point. And so it's something kind of really relatable.
Yeah.
But I think it's so cool that you wrote this in an airport. How did the setting of your writing kind of affect it, or did it play any role in that?
Well, at first it was really rushed. So, I forget where, I think we were on our way to England or something to visit family. And so it was a busy airport, international flights, you know, lots of drama and stuff. But we had to wait 3 hours probably because we always show up super early. So I was like, I'm just going to try and get some writing done. And usually on the Young Writers Project, I respond to prompts. And challenges and stuff, but I had kind of been inspired earlier, so I like jotted down a draft for this, and then I edited it more when we got to England. But yeah, I think it's just like, again, I was in a place where the lights were super bright, and it's like a building where it could be super late at night, and it still feels like day, and I think that really like definitely set in stone my idea that I was going to write about that, because I think it's like a big thing that you can notice in like everyday life, like walking into a convenience store late at night and like the LED lights are so bright compared to like outside. But yeah, I think that definitely helped me decide exactly what I was going to write about.
Yeah, it's like entering a different world where like it's full of like bright lights and, you know, neon colored packages, and then as soon as you leave, it's just like complete darkness. Like, that's such an interesting image to me. But I haven't been in an airport in many, many years. But I remember like on flights, I would bring like a book with me or a notebook and I try to write, but I would just be like so scared because I hate flying. I hate like the takeoff and then the landing. And then once we're in midair, I'm like still kind of freaked out about both of them. So I'm never really like able to calm down, but it's still like such an interesting experience because you're in this like really tiny, tiny like machine sort of, and with all these strangers, and like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like something bad could easily happen. You could easily crash. It's just the weirdest thing to me that like, you're all just in that situation together. And then as soon as the plane lands, you're just going to go off into your separate worlds.
Yeah, it's funny, my science teacher, we were talking about like air flight and how we travel, and he referred to airplanes as tin cans packed with humans just like soaring through the air, and ever since then I've like not been able to get that image out of my head. And it's like, it's weird if you think about it, And then you watch shows where there are airplane crashes and stuff, and it's, yeah.
Oh, I hate thinking about that. That's like one of my greatest fear. And then I think I mentioned this recently, but like when people say like, oh, driving in a car is so much safer than being in an airplane, and you're driving cars all the time, but it's like, that's a much different experience. You can't compare those two. And like the amount of people that are in an airplane is crazy to me.
I also think that now that like it's a lot more automatic, because I've always pictured like, you know, the pilot is steering the plane and he's got both hands on the wheel the whole time. But then like, if you think about it, they probably just like get it off the ground and get it on the ground. There's not much you can do in the air, which has always like spooked me a little bit.
Yeah. And then like those Airbus airplanes that are like multiple levels, like that's insane to me that like that exists. But like air travel, airplanes, that kind of thing, very interesting. And like airports are such an interesting place to me too. Like I've always been fascinated by it, like how many people are there just like from so many different places, and your lives are just like colliding for just like one split second, and then you're never going to meet each other again. Like very interesting to me. But that brings me to another one of your lines in this poem, which is how the boy and the girl have this interaction, and then the line continuing our separate lives, because they're two strangers but they've kind of built up a little bit of a connection, and then like they recognize each other and they acknowledge each other and like wave and stick out their tongues and roll their eyes and that kind of thing, but they still don't know about each other's like lives and struggles and complexities and all of that. So it made me think of, again, of like how many strangers I pass, and I know that they have separate like vast lives that I'll never know about.
Yeah, no, I've always thought it was so cool. So this is kind of a TikTok trend reference right here, but like the whole like main character moment thing, and just the idea that like you're just a side character in someone else's life. Like if a stranger's life was a movie, you could be on screen for like 1 minute just passing them on the subway, or like they see you from a coffee shop and they think that you like your shirt is cool, but like you're never gonna see each other again. And I've always thought that's such a cool thing to think about, and I think it can really change your like point of view of other people and like sort of your view on life.
I love that whole main character thing. Like imagining your life as a main character, POV, you're the main character. Like I love that kind of thing. But I really do think it's interesting is that like I think some of us, me included, don't really like think about how everyone around us has like such complex lives, like as complex as ours, and they're not just people moving past, like they're not just moving figures, like they're people too, they're humans. And it's like sometimes I just don't even think about that, about like how many thoughts and experiences and like people that they know and like go through and that kind of thing.
With the pandemic, it's sort of like I know at least at my school there's been like, if someone gets COVID, then you think, have I seen them? Like, where have I been? Like, what contact do I have? But if you look at like the amount of people that they interact with on a daily basis, like I think it's especially clear when there's stuff like COVID going around where suddenly 20 people have it and you're like, whoa, that person really does like spend a lot of time with other people. Like their interactions go further than just like with me.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point too. And like, what's also interesting to me, I don't know if this is related, but I just thought of it. It's like, I was homeschooled until high school, or until the later years of high school. And all of my friends went to public school, and some of them knew each other, like not outside of my friendships with them. And so like, I would hang out with one friend and then we'd be talking about another friend. And like, it would be so weird to hear about the other friend from like the first friend's point of view, and like kind of everything that I don't see from them. And it's like, really, that's so weird that like that's my friend, like the same person that I know, because I've never seen them like that, and like they've never acted like that when we're together, that kind of thing. So it's interesting to see people that you know from other people's perspectives. And then it makes me wonder, like, how do different people describe me? Like, it's all very interesting.
Yeah. It's actually funny story, actually. So one time I was talking about this person, and I sort of like described them because I didn't think that the person I was talking to knew them. And they were like, "Oh, is that the tall girl?" And I had never seen her as tall. She's probably like a few inches taller than me. But it's just like the slightest thing. And that kind of threw me off guard because I had never thought of her as like the tall girl. But like now that I thought about it, oh, she is kind of tall. And I see how like other people might like know her by that. But it just like totally threw me off guard. And I was kind of surprised for a minute that people were like right there ready with that description as soon as I like mentioned their name.
Yeah, that is interesting that like the way that you would describe them would not be the way that everyone else describes them. So another thing, your last stanza, how the, I feel like you can kind of tie together like in your mind the meaning of the darkness from before in the bus now becoming brightness, and then the shyness of the narrator kind of turning into confidence. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to approach that boy. I'm finally going to say something to him. And I sit down together. And I love how like the narrator just finally takes the plunge and the chance to talk to him instead of just continuing to like pass him by day after day.
Yeah, no, that's actually something I kind of like at the time wished that I could do more, because I felt like there were so many like missed opportunities where there might be a person with a really cute outfit on, but like I'm not confident enough to go up and tell them. And I feel like little things can really change a lot. And like, I don't know, I just kind of wanted this character to be able to do that for herself. And I thought that it really just like would advance their sort of relationship even further. And I thought that that was just a nice way to wrap it up.
Yeah, I agree. I'm always like so startled when strangers talk to me. I don't know why, but like, again, I just don't expect them to like be people who talk to people. I don't know why. But like, whenever someone compliments me, I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, I should have said that to them. Like, I really love their outfit. So I think it's really sweet when someone does do that.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people are like worried because you never know if the person you're going to talk to is going to be really mean and just like tell you to go away or something. But the fact that like so few people I think would actually do that in real life, they just like complimenting people or talking to people just for the fun of it is actually like a really great way to like bond.
Yeah. So what overall meaning do you like to take away from this poem?
Ooh, that's a hard one. So personally, I kind of have a few. I've always sort of wanted to have this like book romance type thing, or like a friendship or whatever, just like this sort of relationship. And I think that it's just like a really sweet thing. And the fact that she is confident enough to go over and talk to him is just sort of like, friendships don't have to stop where they are just because this is a person you only text for homework or whatever, like doesn't mean you can't ask them questions about how they're feeling, or like you can't push that relationship further. And I think that that's sort of a step she took, and it paid off, I'm assuming. And then I also think just the general like having the books and like the newspapers and stuff disappear, I think it's important to like bring a little bit of light to that, just because even if it's just people going to ebooks or Kindles and stuff, like personally, I'd stick to print copies because I love the feel and like just the vibe more. But I think that a lot of people do notice it, but don't really say anything about it, just like little changes that can really affect the environment around you. And I figured I'd talk about it in this poem.
I agree about preferring the vibe of like print books. I think that's such an important thing, is that like ebooks are cool, but like I just am always drawn to print books and like used books especially, and like how tangible they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like that I just really appreciate more than like just looking at my phone or my computer and then reading. But yeah, I really like what you said about how you can always like, friendships don't have to stay just as like surface level, and sometimes it's scary, but it's important to take that next little step, or just like send a quick text and ask someone how they're doing, and like check in with people that you care about and that kind of thing. And I think that can really turn like a surface level basic friendship into like a really deep friendship and a deep bond.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So how did you first become interested in writing?
Wow, this is going to be a great backstory. So we're going back to third grade when we started a poetry unit, and we only wrote haikus. That was like the one thing. But our teacher was really nice, and she was talking about how poetry really doesn't have like a necessary form. You can really write whatever, and so long as it like feels like poetry to you, it is poetry. And I thought that was so cool. So I sort of started experimenting, and then I've only started like properly calling it poetry per se recently, and doing stuff with my work. And I just like, it's kind of a fun little outlet for me, like a break from studying, just see what comes to mind and try and knock out a couple of poems. And I just think it's a great way for people to like communicate their feelings without having to outright come and say them.
I think that's so cool. And that's like something that I feel like we've heard so many times on Line Break, is that like in middle school or elementary school, we started a poetry unit and I had a really great poetry teacher and that inspired me to write. And it's like, I love that that comes up so often, and like how having one person who says that poetry can be whatever you want it to be, like inspires you for the rest of your life, maybe. Like, I just think that's so special.
Yeah. And I also think it's really important because I personally have tried to stay in contact with this teacher as much as I can. Just like, I send her my poems every now and then. And my friend and I wrote a 36-page story the other day. Not the other day, last year. and so we sent it to her for her to edit it, just because she really helped me a lot with my writing. And I think that it's just so cool to be able to stay in contact with teachers like that.
Yeah, I just applied to a college and I needed letters of recommendation. And so I asked two of my professors and I got them, and I was like, these are the sweetest things I have ever read. And I didn't even realize that like I had made that much of an impact on them, like as a student. And so I just heard your cat.
Yeah, sorry, he's begging to be let in.
So cute. But anyway, I didn't realize that like we had made that much of a connection. So it was so sweet, again, to like hear about myself from their perspective and like how much I really admired them as teachers, and then seeing how they kind of admired me too as a student.
Yeah, I think it's like letters of recommendation and like letters to self can really help with that type of stuff, because in seventh grade, we had to write a letter to our future self, and everyone was like talking about what they're going to put in it. And a bunch of people were like, I'm going to put my favorite teachers, because I want to be able to look back on this in high school and be like, wow, that person really impacted my life. And I think that that's just like such a cool bond to have with like someone who might be way older than you, but like to be able to be like, that person really changed me for the better and like had an impact on how my life is going to turn out. I think that's just so cool.
That is so sweet. I remember I used to do that too in summer camp. And then it was like, I went to this thing that was like a summer camp and then also an after school program throughout the school year. And so every couple of months we would like write a letter to ourselves and then sign it, seal it, put an envelope. And then I just recently got a couple of them last summer, I think, or the summer before. Whenever it was at some point, but a lot of them were from like 2016, 2017. And it was so interesting to read about my thoughts from that time, because like, I barely remember who I was back then, even though it was just a couple of years ago. And it was like, so interesting to kind of go back into that mind of younger me and be like, wow, this is what really mattered to me and what I really wanted to capture. And then I also made a time capsule for my English class, which is still in my closet. I'm not supposed to open it for another year. I have one more year. January 1st, 2023. And I think I made it in 2019 or 2020. I don't know, one of those. And so I have no idea what's still in there, what's in there now, but it's going to be so much fun to look back on it and be like, these are the things that I really cared about and that maybe I still care about, maybe I've forgotten, maybe are something I want to care about again.
I mean, yeah, that kind of brings me back to like beginning of the pandemic, 2019, 2018, when everyone was like, I'm going to start journaling for this pandemic because who knows what's going to happen. And I think it'd be so cool to have this written down. And that lasted like 2 days for me. I got like two entries and then I was like, this is not going to work. But some of my friends do still have journals and they were looking back the other day and just like hearing about how different it was and their thoughts and them being like 2 weeks off school. Yay. This is so exciting. It's really cool. And then like watching reality TV shows that were being produced during COVID and have just been released. It's like crazy to see how much has changed in just a few years. And I think that if people paid more attention to it, like when there isn't a pandemic going on, like just as much is changing, it's just not as obvious.
That is such a good point because I feel like we don't really notice change until it's like, until we're in the midst of it, you know? And like, I have been thinking about this time in my life because I would be a senior in high school. I'm turning 18 in a couple of weeks and I'm graduating college actually in June with my associate degree. So I've got an interesting scenario, but it's funny because like, it feels like so much is going on, but like day by day, I don't see small changes until like the end of it. And like, then I'm like, oh my God, this is like such a huge moment in my life. And it's just interesting to see that and like how I've been thinking about this time and knowing that it's going to be a time of change, but it doesn't really feel like it until I'm like, whoa, that was crazy.
It's also like, little things. Like I was looking back on my hair last year and I had just cut it really short and I was like, I look like a different person. Like I would not recognize me now because my hair's a little bit longer now. And just like little changes like that I think can really change a lot. And then plus like lifestyle changes. Like this is going to sound really very I don't even know, very eco, but like we got solar panels a little while ago and just like knowing that you're using power from the sun. I don't know. I think that was so cool, but it's made me like, just for the fun of it, cause we were trying it out. I started baking a lot more to see if they would work with the oven. And now I like bake every weekend. I can't stop baking. Plus I love sweets. So like that doesn't help. And I just think that like little things, like you don't know that the thing that you're doing is going to change anything with you, but trying a new food that you end up like liking so much that it's your favorite food can really have an impact on your personality as well.
I think that's so interesting too, and like how small decisions end up like changing big parts of yourself. And I was just saying about something that past me, you know, present me has made a decision for a reason that future me will figure out shortly. Because like I made this decision and I was like, this is a really bad thing that I've done. Like, why did I do this? And I was like, you know what? There's going to be a reason why I did it. I can't regret it yet. And then sure enough, a couple of days later, I was like, haha, that's why I did it. And it turned out to be better. It turned out to be a good outcome. So it's just interesting how like, you don't really know the reason or the outcomes of your actions until a while later. But the whole thing about using the sun to cook at the summer camp, I was just talking about, we had this really small solar powered oven. I don't even know how it worked. It was very interesting and handmade, which I don't know if it's the best thing to do when it's like having to do with energy. But anyway, we made these cookies in it and it was a very interesting experience. But it was very cool. It was very cool to know that like these cookies were made by the sun.
Yeah. I think that little things like that also just like, I can imagine that they tasted different probably, not even like the ingredients or anything, but like, I feel like just the littlest things can really change the whole like experience of something too. Because when I tell you that the cookies at the cafeteria at my school are so good, I think it's probably just because like when we were talking about it in middle school, everyone was like, oh, the bakers at the caf, they're so good. And now the cookies might not actually be that great, but I always eat them in the cafeteria at a table with all my friends. And everyone's like talking about how, oh, they're a little gooier today, but it's fine. And how we're so excited for basketball after school. And I think that like ideas like that and having little things that like give importance to those little things is really a key part of like experiences. And I think that is just such a cool thing.
I do too. I think it's always like so special to like have a meal with someone. And that sounds really weird. But I took this class in the summer that was like the power of food. And I was talking about like how food connects us and that kind of thing. And it really does. Like all of my favorite moments with my family have been while we're sitting down eating dinner together and like connecting with my friend when we're eating sandwiches at Panera and like that kind of thing. And it's like little small moments like that are so important to me. And it's almost always when we're eating together.
Yeah, no, I think that is like such a cool thing just to think about, like looking back on memories and being like, what was I doing that made this special? Actually, now that you pointed it out, yeah, a lot of mine too are like, oh, it's because we got ice cream from my favorite shop, or the person serving us was super nice. And that's why I remember like that certain place as being so special. And I think that's like crazy that such a common factor can like make such a big change.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of memories, I have for a while in middle school, I haven't done this since I was maybe 14, I think. So a couple of years, but I used to have these shoe boxes or just like regular big boxes, kind of like the kind that you would put pictures in, like photo album boxes. I don't know what they're called, but like kind of the size of a shoe box. And I would put little like mementos in it. I call it like a memory box. And I did it for so many years. And I have like clothes that I wore that were really special, or birthday cards or Polaroids or movie tickets or notes and receipts and just like random things like that that I wanted to keep. And I haven't looked at them in a while, but now I want to go back because I'm like, wait a second, that was like such a cool thing that I did. And like, I'm actually really glad that I documented like those moments.
So this is kind of a funny connection, but I actually like have literally one of those boxes with me right now. I just went and grabbed it. And I just think it's so crazy because like when I'm looking back at this, the stuff I have in here is a corn husk doll from my third grade colonial day, which was my first year at my new school. And that was the day when I think my teacher like spilled the soup on someone. And so we had to go inside to like get our like clothes washed or something. And now that person is on my basketball team and one of my closest friends. So I just think like little connections. And I think it's also so cool having a memory box like this. I check it like every 2 months or so. I'll look back and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. And I think that little things like this where you can like sort of like add some tangible item to some great memory or some amazing person, like at least for me, that's really helped me like put things in perspective when I'm really stressed or anxious and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool point, is like putting things in perspective with like the tangible things and kind of going back to the physical part of memories. And I remember one thing that I have, it's this t-shirt that I got on, I think Etsy or something. And do you know Sarah Dessen, the author? Yeah, I was obsessed with her in middle school. Like I could not get enough of her books. I read every single one multiple times. I loved her so much. And I got this shirt that's a map of one of her towns that like she made up. Like I think it's Colby or something. And it's like a map of every place that the characters go to, and which is like the coolest thing ever. And I actually got to go to one of her book signings in Connecticut. We drove like 5 hours there and back. It was crazy, but it was so much fun. And I got to meet her and get an autograph and all that. So it's just like such a cool memory to me, even though I'm not like such a huge fan of her now. Like it's still just like, I remember my joy in that moment. Like in the moment, I was so happy to be there. And now I have this shirt to like remind me of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's so cool. And that totally brings me back to like what we were talking about earlier with having like print tangible books. Because if I read a book and I really love it, I always go out and get the print copy. And my bookshelves in my room, I have this rule. A book is not allowed to come in my room if I'm not currently reading it or have finished it. And it's sort of like my way of keeping track of the books I've read. Because I used to always have this issue where people would be like, so what did you read over the summer? And I'd be like, I know I read something, but I can't remember what. And I think just like having them around me sort of like reminds me of times when I was reading them, and like my taste in books has really changed. It's going from like fantasy, like middle grade novels to like more like realistic fiction. And now I'm getting really into poetry. I just think it's such a cool thing to like have around you and to keep near you. And I think it's the same thing. Like if you're really passionate about something and you have it like with you, or you have a signature from someone that you really idolize, it can really like help you get through things. Or at least that's what I've found.
Completely. And I totally agree. I wish I had that rule, because I have like 400 books in my room. Actually, I'm not exaggerating. I have a lot of them. And I collect like antique books, like really old books from like the 1800s and 1900s. And I love them so much because it's like, it's so cool to me that they're 150 or 200 years old, and like I own them, they're mine now. And like I can make them last even longer. And like, here's this living piece of history in my hands. And like, it's so cool to me. And then some of them have like people's names on the inside, or like something that they wrote, or notes. And like, I just love having that.
Yeah. And then this is slightly different, but my brother loves thrifting so much. And I think it is so cool. Yeah, no, I went with him once, and it's like probably the most fun I've ever had shopping. But he brings back stuff sometimes that'll have like a kid's name on the back, or he brought home shoes that had stickers on the bottom that said Andy's, which is like from Toy Story. And I thought that was so cool. And I always find it like kind of happy, but kind of sad that like these moments from people's lives are like being sold for $5. But it's also like, if you think about it, it's so cool that these shoes that someone might have treasured so much, now someone else gets to wear them and gets to like love them just as much and really take care of them. Or maybe they're like gonna go to their first day of school wearing these boots because they fit their outfit or something. And I just think that's like such a cool idea that your things can be like handed down and have impacts on other people's lives.
That's exactly how I think of it. And I think it's like the coolest thing ever. And the clothes that I wear all the time are from thrift stores. Like this leather jacket on the chair behind me, I got it for like $10 at Goodwill, and it's my favorite jacket. Like I love it. And it's just so special to me because I wonder like who owned it before me? Like what was their life like? And was it their favorite jacket, or like why did they get rid of it and that kind of thing? And then I have things that I got from the thrift store that are like, one of them actually, this dress that I have, I think it was definitely handmade, I think around the 50s or 60s. And you can tell because it's like sewn and some of the stitches are a little bit uneven, and like there's a matching belt, and it's like this really pretty thin floral pattern. And it's totally 50s. And it's so cool because I was like, oh my gosh, now I've made up the story in my mind of like the dress and like how it was this teenage girl my age, and like she was making it with her mother, her grandmother, and like that was how they bonded. And now like 60 years later, I can wear it. And so I just love that so much.
Yeah, I have a similar thing actually. So we were cleaning out my grandparents' house recently because they moved, and they're very old and not exactly storytelling types, but going through their attic, it's like a treasure trove. And we found like letters from my mom and dad from when they were like on trips and stuff, sending back to their parents. And I think it's so sweet. But also little things like we found a dress that my grandma got when she was visiting, I think, Turkey. And it was handmade for her by this guy who lived down the street from them. And he basically, like, when they were leaving, he was just like, I'm going to make you a dress. So you guys have to stay a few more days. And they did. And he made her a dress and it fit her perfectly. And now it's like in my closet and it's going to be handed down, hopefully, to my grandkids someday. And I just think that's such like a cool bond that you can have just by like passing something down.
That is so sweet. I love that so much. That is like the coolest thing, like a sisterhood of the traveling pants thing. Wow, that's so cool. Okay, back to my questions. I have two more questions. So how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
So I actually started in like sixth grade. There was the National Novel Writing Month thing that I think YWP is connected with. And there is a group, a creative writing group at my school led by a teacher that I didn't have at the time, but one of my friends had her and she convinced me to join. And I did not get far. I wrote for like a week and then gave up. But I ended up going to the Young Writers Project site just to check it out. By accident. At first, I was trying to get to the National Novel Writing Month site. And I thought it was cool. And I know that one of my friends used it. So I just like made an account. I wasn't planning on posting much at first. I wasn't really used to like sharing my writing. Like I kind of just wrote for fun. I'd keep it in my Google Drive. But I just thought it was like such a nice community. And like you can get so much outreach just by posting like a simple poem and like you can find out really cool things about other people. So I just started posting some stuff and then my writing got better because of it. So I just tried to keep up the like sharing and stuff.
That's such a cool story. I've always admired people who have done NaNoWriMo and like actually stuck with it because I don't think I would get further than maybe 2 days. I have like a short attention span and I get distracted by like other projects I want to work on and then I would like lose motivation. But I just think it's so cool how like it's become such a big thing that really connects people. And it's so special that like so many people are able to find other writing communities through NaNoWriMo.
I think it's such a great site because when I was writing, I got like probably 100 words down before like taking a 3-day break. And I kept getting emails saying like, you're so close, you're doing so well. And at first I was like, okay, that's a lot. But then I got one of them and it was like an inspirational like speech led by this person. And she was like someone who actually happened to have written something that I had read before. And I thought it was like amazing and I had really enjoyed it. So I logged on and it really inspired me. And I think that that's kind of the same with YWP, where it's just like a lot of my writing has improved and been inspired from other people. And it's really nice when there's a community that's like there for you to help organize that in some way. And it's just really a useful thing.
Yeah, definitely. So what books and authors have shaped your life as a writer and a human being?
Well, most recently, I've sort of adopted the style of Rupi Kaur. I think she's an amazing poet, and I read through her books in like a week. I think that they're like incredible. So I've been trying to sort of like branch out with my writing styles within like the broad genre of poetry. And so she's really inspired me in that sense. And then, have you ever read the books by Adam Silvera? So I found out about him on TikTok when They Both Die at the End was like totally popular. And I read that and I thought it was such a cool way of writing it where like sort of most of the plot is in the title. And I was like expecting there to be some big thing. And I just thought it was such a like contemporary way of writing a book, and I thought his writing was incredible. So I've been reading more of his books. And then his stories are also amazing stories. It's not just his writing that I really like. It's like the whole thing. It's kind of perfect package. And then those are the most recent authors who have like affected me, I think.
I think that's really cool. I've been, for poetry, I've been reading, I just got two poetry collections. One is by Anne Sexton and the other is by Sylvia Plath. And they're really interesting because their styles are pretty similar and they're from the same era and kind of were in the same writing community in a way. And so their style is like confessional poetry and just like really honest, and it's really interesting to read through what they write and kind of how they approach telling their stories. So that's what I've been reading, and I really want to try to do confessional poetry because I feel like it would be really interesting. And then, although I guess I kind of do it in a way, but a lot of my poems are, I don't want to say made up, but more metaphorical, and they're not super like concrete. So I think it'd be cool to be a little more concrete with it. And then for books, I haven't really been reading much lately because I have a ton, but I just haven't. So I want to get back into reading, and I'm taking a couple of classes this semester that are going to make me read a lot. Like I have 13 books to read throughout the semester. So wish me luck, but I'm excited to get back into reading because I feel like I always feel more grounded after I've read a book and like more like myself and more inspired too.
It's kind of funny. A lot of the books that I've read and authors I've really liked are because of like classes that have assigned something. And I was like, oh, that was actually a pretty good book. Like I'm going to look into it more. A friend and I in eighth grade, we decided to challenge ourselves a little bit and read East of Eden by John Steinbeck together. And we were like, you know what, let's just go full school mode on this and take notes in the book. So it was like a super informal little reading group, and it was actually so fun. And when I say it took us probably like 4 months to get through it, it took us so long. But afterwards, like, I tried reading some more of his books by myself, and it was a little bit of a wild goose chase trying to find one that I could. But I ended up really like appreciating his style of writing more and sort of the depth of it. And I think that also reading with a person, like another person helping you see it and from their point of view, that really helped me with it. And I think you get that a lot in classes where when you're analyzing the book, you can really look at it from lots of point of views and see what the author was really trying to like get at.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I have a copy of The Waves by Virginia Woolf. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to read this and I'm going to annotate it. I'm going to leave notes in the margins. I was very like decisive about it. And I got through the first chapter, but it is a lot of work to read. Like, it's a really beautiful book and like such amazing writing and like really interesting descriptions, but it's like told in dialogue only and like paragraphs of dialogue that aren't addressed to anyone in particular. And it switches between six different people. So like, it's very difficult to keep track of who's talking and like what the storyline and perspective is. So it's like work in that way. And I was like, does this go on for the entire book? And it does. So I really want to read it because I was really interested by it. And like the tone is about like these children, and it's a very like childlike voice that's describing it. And so I really want to challenge myself to read through it, even though it's going to be difficult. But I think it's interesting to read like experimental books like that and kind of how you can take a different approach to writing.
Yeah. So like, I kind of feel like that's also a great way for poetry to do it because a lot of poetry is so like one of a kind and contemporary, or at least like that's what I found. But also like, have you ever read Ulysses?
I have wanted to, but I haven't because I'm a little bit scared of it.
Yeah. So my dad has been wanting to read it for years. And he was telling me about it the other day, and the way he described it made it sound awful. He was like, it is the densest book he has ever tried to read. So I asked my English teacher about it, and she said she had to start it for a course she did in college. And that when she was reading it, she'd have at least 3 or 4 tabs open because she had to look up so many footnotes. And that if you're like gonna try and read it, you gotta just know everything about everything, or you need to be very good at researching while you're reading. And at first I was like, that just sounds awful. Like, I would not want to read a book like that. But I also think that it would be so different and new, because like reading fiction where it's really just you read the book and then you're done with it, I think that's cool, and I really enjoy that. But it's also so cool to be able to be like, I just finished Ulysses, and I did it, and I know so much more now, and I understand writing better. And I just think that's such a cool way of like going about writing and seeing it more as like a new thing where you can invent new ways to do it every time you write a book, rather than like a set like description.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Infinite Jest. I've always wanted to read that, but it is a thick book. And I feel like I can't exactly remember what it is, but it's like there's all these different storylines or like different stories that you can go from, and then you have to like turn from chapter to chapter to read it, like chapter 8, now chapter 17, now chapter 4, now chapter 52. I'm like, that is a lot of work. Like, I don't know if I'm committed to that, but I do want, like, I want to have the experience, but I don't want to have the experience, if that makes sense. But I think that's an interesting concept, and I think it's cool to like that there are books like that where like authors are kind of breaking the boundaries of fiction and like really developing their own genre.
I also like, I find that so cool with movies too, because I know, I think it was the director of Inception or The Matrix or something, just like goes crazy with his like ideas. And my dad was telling me about this movie where it's like not in order, it's backwards. So the way it came out, if you watch it in a certain way, you could technically play it scene by scene, watching it backwards, and it would make sense. Or you could watch it the way that it was like produced, and then you're probably going to be extremely confused until you think back on it afterwards. And at first, again, I was like, that's such a stupid idea. Like, why would you do that? But now I'm like, I really want to watch it now, because I think that's such a cool thing, because it's to the point where people are just doing what they love and like pushing the boundaries and being like, I can do it, so why not try it? And I just think that's really incredible.
That is really cool. And that reminds me of a book that does that I read. It's Genuine Fraud by E. Lockhart. And it is so cool. Have you read it?
No, I checked it out from the library like for a summer a couple of years ago, but I never got around to reading it.
It is really cool because it tells the story backwards. And like it starts at the end and then goes back to the beginning. And it's just incredible. Like I haven't read it in a while, but I remember like at the time that I was reading it, I was like, this is so cool that it's going backwards. And like, at first you're like, okay, this is pretty interesting. This is kind of like an okay story. And then you get to the end and you're like, this is what happens? Whoa. And so like, I just think that that's a really cool approach to writing, is that like, you know, starting with the end and going back to the beginning and seeing how the end in a way is a beginning.
Yeah, I wish I could write like that. I think it would take so much time though, because it's like the amount of like knowledge you have of your story before even going into it must be so in depth, and you must know exactly where you're going, which is not something I can do.
Yeah, same. I can never like plot out exactly what I want to happen. I mean, like, yeah, I'll make notes, but I just want to feel it in the moment. Like, I want to see where the characters take me on their own and not like have to know exactly what's going to happen when, which isn't the greatest writing strategy, but it is one.
Yeah, no, that's something that I think my teachers do not like about my like essay writing skills. It's always, you always have to fill out the outline and know exactly like where the climax is going to be and everything, or exactly what point you're trying to make. And it usually changes at least 3 or 4 times before I submit it.
Yeah, and like the whole thesis statement thing. You know what would be interesting? And maybe it's not just interesting. Maybe it's how you're supposed to do it. Would be to write a fiction story as like a five, or not five, but like a research paper where like you have an introduction, a thesis, a body, a conclusion. Maybe that is how you're supposed to write a fiction story.
I feel like that would be such a cool way of writing it. Like that's probably like the solution to all writing issues ever. You just write it like an
Am I onto something, or am I like just
essay.
discovering a wheel? I don't know.
Yeah, wait, that's actually such a cool idea.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Now I can't tell. But that'll be fun to try.
I think it's things like that where you just like suddenly have an idea and it doesn't hurt to try it. So when people do try it, and who knows, maybe that's like turns out to be the best way to write a fiction story. And it's just like an idea that was had on a Zoom. And I
Yeah.
just think that's such a cool thing.
I think so too. Well, let's hope that we both get inspired to write and write well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for recording this with me. Those are all of my questions.
Thank you.
It's been such a fun time.
Yeah, no, this was great.
This has been episode 53 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 54. Bye!